WorldTravel.com is your place for show archives, travel news, sponsor links, and so much more. You can also connect with Robert and Mary and the RM World Travel Show team. Now, back to America's number one travel radio show.
As we return from that quick break, we are now moving into the personal connection, and this portion of the program is sponsored by TravelGuard.com/Carrie.
Because world happenings, unknown situations, and unexpected events could compromise your travel plans, whether your next adventure is a long or short getaway, international, or even domestic, we recommend getting protected with a plan at TravelGuard.com/Carrie.
When your travel plans go wrong, folks, a Travel Guard travel insurance plan, well, they can make things go right. It's why we say packing a Travel Guard travel plan, well, it's one of the best things that you can do for successful travel. So go get the coverage you should have at TravelGuard.com/Carrie. That's C-A-R-E-Y. It's affordable. It takes just a few minutes to get yourself set up. You'll also find a direct link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
All right, since we're into December and many areas of this country have experienced significant snow, along with all the cold weather that goes along with it, today's personal connection is going to have an NHL hockey focus. Our next guest has been traveling with the NHL Stanley Cup Trophy since 1988, and whether you're a diehard hockey fan or not, there's no denying the iconic history of the Stanley Cup, which was first won in 1893. Some say it's the most traveled sports trophy in the history of sports. The keeper of the cup, Phil Pritchard, joins us now.
Well, he does indeed. Phil, we only seem to have you on the program during the cold weather months for some reason. Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys. And yeah, the weather is changing. But you know what? It's December. Christmas is here. For some, there's snow. For others, there's heat and warmth, I guess.
That's true.
Such is life.
That's such is life as well. Well, listen, I certainly recall when you joined us back in January for the Museum Gallery segment. And as we discussed the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto with you, actually, both Mary and I, we looked at each other. We realized that that conversation, there was so much more to the story about you and the Stanley Cup, so we wanted to have you back. I do want to start, let's go to 1988, Phil, when you took your first trip with the Cup. Share with everyone tuned in a brief overview of how it happened.
Well, you know, it's amazing. I mean, you mentioned 1988 there. It goes back quite a ways now. But I had started at the Hockey Hall of Fame, and the Cup needed to go out on the road. And no one else put up their hand, which I am not sure why. But so I kind of sheepishly put up my hand and said, well, I'm the new guy, but I'm happy to do that. And sure enough, I went out on the road, took the Stanley Cup in my vehicle. I had a little hatchback at the time, and away we went. And now, what are we now, 36 years later, and my hatchback's now an SUV, but I still put it in the back, and away we go.
And here you are. Away you go. I love it. And I know there are a few people who travel with the Cup, but you are the keeper. And from what I've heard, your loyal fans have bestowed that term on you. But I'm curious, besides the many travels around Canada and, of course, the United States, give us an idea of how well-traveled the Stanley Cup is. And does it, when it flies, does it go in cargo, or does it go, like, with the passenger?
Well, it's a great question you ask, because obviously we do fly around Canada and U.S., but with the Stanley Cup, I've been to 30 other countries as well, and it always travels as baggage. So in doing that, when we check in at the airlines, a lot of people would go to the regular or first class, but I have to go to special services because of the size and the weight of the cup and the case that it's in when it goes.
Okay.
And from there, we kind of take a different route on TSA. Because as the cup goes through the machines and that, it is usually too big for those scanning machines. So I have to open it up, and they have to hand check it and that, which is always an experience when they are a hockey fan and they don't know what's in it.
Oh, I bet it is. Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
but
Phil,
fortunately, there's a lot of photos.
Yeah, Phil. So what I find so fascinating, besides all of that, about this cup is it not only is it the annual trophy for the winning team in professional hockey, but there's so many stories, and that's really why you're back here with us today, because we talked a little bit about it off the air. The cup is for the families, and it's not just for the athletes. And I mean, I've read that somebody baptized their baby in the cup. This cup has had so many amazing personal connections itself. Is there anything else that you want to share that might surprise us listening?
Well, I mean, first off, it does have a personality of its own. I mean, when you see it at 36 inches high and pure silver at 38 pounds, it is pretty spectacular. But you mentioned about the christening and the cup. And when we last spoke in January, a lot has changed since then. The player that christened his daughter in the cup way back actually won it this past year in Florida as assistant coach. And his daughter had just recently had a baby herself. So they redid the whole christening, but now third generation in that Stanley Cup, which is pretty cool when you think of it.
Oh, wow.
Through the time, the player won it twice, once as a player, once as management. the daughter was in the cup for the christening and then had her own baby and had her baby in the cup.
Yes,
28 years later. So it's an amazing story.
Wow.
Well, and it just shows because some people, again, they'll see the trophy being held. Yeah. By the way, I was just thinking from what you said earlier, I would not want to be the baggage person handling at the airport because, you know the value of this,
it's
right?
It's a little risky. Yeah,
exactly,
yeah,
right. So, I mean, there's no question about that. But, you know, and you talk about what you just said as far as third generation and christenings and so things. Yeah, these are really personal connections, right? So
they are so personal.
They are. There's some very interesting stories. You know, I want to bring it back to you as the keepers, since you are in our personal connection segment. You know, share what the cup and all the travels over the years with it has meant to you.
I think for me to be part of the story is pretty amazing. But as you said, the personal part of it, when the player or the athlete wins it and brings it home to his family and basically says thank you for everything you've done for me, whether it's mom and dad or whether it's grandparents or first teacher or coach or someone that pushed them to excel a bit harder. I'm there for all of that, to see that and to witness all those emotions. It's pretty powerful because there's obviously a lot of smiles, a lot of tears, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And to be part of that in just a small way is pretty neat to take in and become part in the memory box in the old brain here.
Well, and the cup itself, obviously, you know, it clearly stands for excellence. It's winning. You know, it is a positive thing and so forth. So, I mean, do you have any personal story over your career that really stands out that you could share with everyone listening today?
Well, I think if the cup could talk, it would be a bestseller without a doubt because everything it has seen. But for me, every time we take it to a new country or a new culture, it's so special. I remember the first time we went to Russia with it. And at the Moscow airport, it was all fenced off and that, and people were there by the hundreds and hundreds of people trying to see it and pushing their fingers through the fence or the barbed wire fence just to be able to touch the cup. And to be part of that is pretty amazing because these players, no matter whether they're Russian, American, Canadian or whatever, they're bringing it home to share with their family and friends, and that makes it spectacular.
Yeah, and they know what that stands for. Yeah.
So I'm curious about the engraving piece of it. Who does the engraving, and what happens when you run out of space?
Well, the cool part about, and it's a great question about the engraving, it's been a family tradition since the day one of the cup. So her name is Louise St. Jacques, and her family did it before her, and before them, their family or grandparents did it. So she's been doing it since the mid-80s now, and each letter gets hand-stamped onto the Stanley Cup. So the year of the team, the team name, and then all the players and coaches and staff, they all go on that cup. So there's 52 names that go on it. But what's amazing, as you just said in the final part of the question, is what happens when it runs out of room?
Yeah.
And it has done that a few times. But what we did at the Hockey Hall of Fame, we thought, you know what? It's 36 inches high. It's beautiful. Everyone recognizes it. How can we make the trophy evolve but stay the same? So every 13 years, we have a little celebration that one of the earlier rings comes off that gets retired into the museum itself, and we add a new ring to the cup. So it remains the same look, the same style, the same weight, but all of that tradition and aura is still there, and the stories of it continue on.
Wow, that is absolutely beautiful.
Very interesting.
Phil, we could do the whole show with you today.
You know, I do want to go. We've got about a minute left with you. And since it is, you know, you said it is December, we are in the winter season now. A good part of the U.S. has been covered by snow. I mean, there's certainly Canada, clearly a lot of snow. But as far as hockey goes, its growth and the increased popularity is certainly evident. What do you say is the explanation for hockey's consistent growth?
Well, I think you are so right. It is very evident. It's played now in 96 countries around the world. And to be able to see a game live, I think you become a fan for life because of the colors, the speed, and all of that. But people are looking for that kind of activity or that kind of entertainment, a fast on-ice sport. And I think most of all, though, that you're able to make ice anywhere now. And that's thanks to technology that you can do that. So you don't have to be a northern country to play hockey. Southern countries play hockey. Australia does, New Zealand,
that's
South
true.
Africa.
Yeah.
All of these countries, and that's what makes it so great. It is a worldwide sport.
Well, and we just saw, obviously, with Florida, big thing. So, well, listen, folks, listen, the next time you're in Toronto, plan to pay a visit to the Hockey Hall of Fame. You may even find Phil there. Phil, really appreciate the check-in with you. We hope you have a great Christmas, and thanks for being part of the show again today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks again, guys. I'm, as you can hear, probably I'm at the airport on my way to Boston now for an event. So the tours continue.
Yeah, well, safe travels. And thank you so much.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, there we go. 36 inches, 38 pounds, Mary. It's an impressive, no question about it.
And it's
been
around the world
for winning and excellence, which we love. So, all right. Well, next, Rudy's going to rejoin the show for the first time this hour to talk old school sailing ships. We'll also be taking you down to Dallas this hour. Bobby's going to enjoy that, as the Frontier of Flights Museum will be our focus for today's Museum Gallery. Stay with us, everyone. We're coming right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.